The following is a seminar entitled Spiritual Perfection in Household Life, Session 1, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 20th, 2014, in Hare Krishna Valley, Australia.
Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vajijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, my spiritual master and our spiritual master, the founder of ISKCON, founder Acharya of ISKCON, is the most powerful spiritual master in the Kali Yuga for driving back the influence of the age of Kali and bringing a golden era of Krishna Bhakti to this planet. It is actually predicted in the scriptures that there will be a 10,000-year period, a golden era of spirituality, which began 500 years ago with the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I existed only in India up until 1965, when Srila Prabhupada came to America and established the ISKCON in the July of 1966. And since that time now, this movement of Chaitanya has inundated the entire world. I know because I'm traveling to so many places where I'm seeing Krishna consciousness, Turkey, China, so many places, Oman, Qatar, United States, South America, Europe, Africa. How this movement is spread all over the world. So if we take advantage of this movement that Prabhupada has begun, we read the books of Srila Prabhupada, we follow the instructions of Prabhupada, our lives will become glorious and we can bring in a glorious new chapter for the history of this planet. So it's a twofold thing. You get to save yourself and you get to save the world at the same time. What could be more glorious? You save yourself and you save the world. So we're especially targeting this seminar this weekend for householders, grihasthas. There are two types of householders. There are materialistic householders, they are called grihamedi, and there are grihasthas, those who take spiritual life seriously. So we want you all to become grihasthas, not grihamedis. The dogs and cats, they are producing children very proficiently, in great profusion. So if all we do is produce children and feed them and teach them how to produce children and feed them, produce children and feed them, we're no better than dogs and cats. The same dog and cat mentality. But if we actually learn how to become liberated souls and how to liberate our children, ourselves and our children from the cycle of birth and death, that is what we are meant to do as human beings. Otherwise, we're simply animals. We want to train you how to be a human being and not animal. So that training is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest scripture for guiding the human society. This Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, is as brilliant as the sun. It has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Those persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So we are speaking today. This seminar is based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a whole chapter called Ideal Family Life. So please tune in and become absorbed and learn, and be very much in the mood of learning. It's like a student in the university attending the classes. You will have your nice social life, your interactions, but this is a time to just focus on learning. These lecture sessions are simply, you sit, you hear, and you learn. Please tune in and turn on to the higher consciousness, which is beyond your material body, beyond your mind, beyond your intelligence, and beyond your ego, false ego, to the spiritual platform. The key is hearing. You have to tune in your hearing and let your intelligence, your spiritual intelligence, become activated. We have all material intelligence. How to drive a car, how to do this, so many things. Material intelligence is there. But until spiritual intelligence becomes activated, we remain simply in the level of animals. So please tune in. Give me your full and undivided attention. Everyone, the children, the adults, everyone, give me your undivided attention, because this is not my words. I'm bringing you the words of Krishna that will liberate you from this material existence. So we'll just go text by text here and read the verses and the purports of the... This is Canto 7, Chapter 14 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Yudhishthira Uvacha Grihastha Etang Padavim Vilinayena Chanjasa Yayad Devarishi Bruhi Madrisho Griha Mudhadi. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired from Narada Muni, O my Lord, O great sage, kindly explain how we who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life may also easily attain liberation according to the instructions of the Vedas. So did Maharaj Yudhishthira have to ask him this question? Did he require that guidance? No, he's an enlightened soul already. But for our sake, this question was asked, because we are caught up in tamaguna and rajaguna. That's the fact. We are caught up in the modes of nature, and we have to know how to get out of it. And on our own, we cannot do it. Simply by, you know, having children, working, making money, spending money, you're not going to get liberated. Even if you have a comfortable house, a nice car, and you're putting your kids in a nice college, it's not going to get you liberated. They're getting them liberated. So everyone listen, don't talk, okay? Boys, don't talk. Listen. Don't talk. Listen. If you want to talk, you can come sit up here and give a lecture, okay? Don't talk at this time. You have to just hear. So now the purport of Srila Prabhupada. In the previous chapters, the great sage Narada has explained how a brahmachari, a vanaprastha, and a sannyasi should act. He first explained the dealings of a brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasi, because these three ashrams or statuses of life are extremely important for fulfillment of the goal of life. One should note that in the brahmachari ashram, vanaprastha ashram, and sannyas ashram, there is no scope for sex life, whereas sex life is allowed in the grihastha life under regulations. Narada Muni therefore first described brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas because he wanted to stress that sex is not at all necessary. All the one who absolutely requires it is allowed to enter grihastha life or household life, which is also regulated by the shastras and guru. Yudhishthira Maharaj can understand all of this. Therefore, as a grihastha, he presented himself as a griha mudhadi, one who is completely ignorant of the goal of life. A person who remains a householder in family life is certainly ignorant of life's goal, He is not very advanced in intelligence. As soon as possible, one should give up his life of so-called comfortable life at home and prepare to undergo austerity or tapasya. Tapo devyang putaka. According to the instructions given by Vrishabhadeva to his sons, we should not create a so-called comfortable situation, but must prepare to undergo austerity. This is how a human being should actually have lived to fulfill a life's ultimate goal. So, what does austerity mean? It means you don't live to gratify your senses. That's not the purpose of life, to gratify your material senses. Why? One could ask. Come on, I enjoy gratifying my senses. What are you trying to do? You're trying to deny me my happiness? Well, why all this thing about denying the senses? What's the whole point of this? Is this some cruel, some sort of cruelty? No. This principle is essential because of the fact that you are not your body. You have to understand you're not your body. That's the whole basis of the thing, you see. As long as you think that you're the body, then sense gratification will be the goal of your life. If I am these senses, this is me, these material senses, mind, or words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. This is me. Then gratifying my mind, venting my anger, venting my lust, satisfying my tongue, my belly, and my genitals, that'll be the purpose of my life. But the fact is, we're not these bodies. Why do we have them then? That's the question. The reality is that each one of us is an eternal spiritual being. We're actually residents of the spiritual world. But that's our actual... You're not Indians, you're not Australians. You're actually Vaikunthians. You are all spiritual, you're all citizens of the spiritual world, all of us here. But due to some ridiculous envy of the Supreme Lord's supreme position of enjoyment, we were given a place where we could think that we are the supreme enjoyers. You see. Krishna doesn't force anyone to remain in his spiritual abode. It's a voluntary place. Everyone's there because they want to be there. No one's forced to remain in the spiritual world. Anybody who's uncomfortable or not satisfied but not with being subordinate to the Supreme is given a place where they can think that they are the Supreme, and that's this material world. That's why we're always clashing with each other. I think I'm the Supreme, you think you're the Supreme. You see, therefore there's always this clashing going on. On the individual level, the family level, the neighborhood level, the city level, the state level, the national level, international level, clashing, clashing, clashing. Pick up any newspaper and you'll see how much clashing is going on everywhere, all over the world, you see. It's because everybody here thinks, I'm the Supreme. I'm the center of enjoyment, you see. They try to engage the whole world in pleasing themselves. That's what everybody's trying to do. It's a big competition. Who's going to get the most pleasure out of this world? And we're all competing to do that. So it doesn't work. It's an unworkable system. Because this is not our actual place. It's an artificial place where you're meant to be back with Krishna in the spiritual world. So this body is a temporary facility for you to gratify your desire to enjoy independently as one option. Or if you take up the path of spirituality or spiritual life, the pathway to liberation, how to get back to your original position. Takshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Muke Hijivado Svayameva Sparajadaha. With your blunt, material, contaminated senses, you cannot realize the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But if you will take your senses, beginning with your tongue, Rupa Goswami says, jiva do. Jiva means tongue, ado is beginning. Beginning with your tongue, if you will engage your senses in the service of the Lord, you see, then your senses become purified, transcendentalized, Krishnaized. And with these Krishna conscious or Krishnaized senses, then you can actually realize God. You can realize God, actually Krishna is everywhere. There's nowhere where Krishna is not present. Ekopya sarvachavitang jagananduko tim yat shaktir vasti jagananduchaya yadanta andantarastal parano shavyantarastam lo bindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. You know that verse? Krishna says, actually Lord Brahma says, he is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. And Brahmaji says, such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. You see. So if you can come to that position by regulating your senses, not indulging your senses beyond what is required to stay healthy. If you will just take as much sense gratification as you require to be healthy and put the balance of your energy into realizing God, then you'll actually experience God's presence everywhere. You come to the point where you can feel God's presence everywhere. At home, at work, on the commute, the grocery store, at the temple, wherever you go, you will feel the presence of Krishna. And your love for him, your heart will melt in ecstasy to engage in loving reciprocation by chanting his names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By offering your food to him, by bowing down to him. Man manama man bhakto majanji mang namaskaru. Mamme vushasha yukvai vang atmanang vatparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances. Become my devotee and worship me. In this way, by becoming fully absorbed in me, what will be the result? Krishna says, certainly you will come to me. So this human form of life is a very rare human life. There is a very rare form of life, I mean. According to the Vishnu Purana, there are 8,400,000 species of life, beginning with the aquatics, Jalaja Lavalakshani, 900,000 types of aquatics, 9 lakhs. This term lakhs is coming from the Sanskrit. Jalaja. Those that are born in the water, jala ja, water born, literally. Jala ja, 900,000 aquatics. And then there's in this way all the species are delineated. So, the human form is very rare. Out of all these species, the human form is very, very rare. This human form is meant, atato brahma jigyasa, to realize God. So, you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. Because if you don't, you're going to spoil your human life, you see, running after sense gratification. One has to pay attention to the words of wisdom from the Vedic literature. So you have to. It's either do or die. Would you like to die? No. Then you have to pay attention. Because if you don't pay attention to the words of the sages, the words of the scriptures, you're drinking poison. I gave you a cup of poison, you'd like to drink it right now? A nice cup of poison, would you drink it? No. So, you have to pay attention, otherwise you're drinking poison. If you let your mind go somewhere else, you're just drinking poison knowingly, throwing your human life away, you see. This human life is meant for realizing God. That's what it's meant for. So if you don't use it for that, you're the biggest fool in the whole world. You're a complete idiot. And the whole world is full of idiots. They're everywhere. They're the prime ministers. They're the members of parliaments. They're the corporate presidents, CEOs. These are all idiots. To be honest with you. The whole world is being managed by idiots right now. That's why it's such a mess. And nature's reciprocating. A shortage of water is not an accident. Too much water is not an accident. You see, nature is out of balance. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, we're hearing his writing right here, everything was perfectly balanced. There was the right amount of water. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It wasn't too wet. It wasn't too dry. The crops grew profusely. The animals were fatty and happy. How many animals look fatty and happy in India? How many cows look fatty and happy in India? It's pathetic. The cows, you can see their ribs. They're pathetic looking creatures, the poor cows in India. So everything we're living in an age called the Kali Yuga, when things are very much chaotic. It's a very chaotic situation. So that's why we have to pay attention to the words of the sages, because the words of the sages can pull us out of this despicable, intolerable situation that we're in now, where people can, you know, run and storm into a cafe in Sydney and hold people hostages, you know, and create complete nightmare. Those such things were unthinkable in the Vedic age. Now in the Kali Yuga, all kinds of demoniac things are happening more and more and more due to godlessness. So we have to put God back in the center. And how do you do that? By legislation? No. You do that by setting the example yourself. We want you boys to pay attention up here. Pay attention here. We want you boys to pay attention here, not somewhere else. I want you to pay attention here.
Behind, they can't hear.
So they can't hear? Yes. So more closer to the mic?
Or they can come later closer, sit here, very close.
You want to move the crowd?
Yeah.
Someone who cannot hear, raise your hand. Who cannot hear?
Now we can't hear.
Not, I wasn't speaking loud enough?
Yes.
And now you can hear?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll make sure everybody can hear. They just move into here then.
And then become hoarse, so everybody can move forward.
Those in the back, yeah, there's plenty of room. Everybody scoot up. Plenty of room. So now we'll go to the next verse. Maharaj Yudhisthira has inquired from Narada Muni. Now Narada Muni will reply. The great sage Narada ki jai. Shri Narada Uvacha Grihe Shravastito Rajan Kriya Kurvan Yatarchihataha Vasudevarpanam Sakshad Upasita Mahamunin. Narada Muni replied, my dear king, those who stay at home as householders must act to earn their livelihood, and instead of trying to enjoy the results of their work themselves, they should offer their results to Krishna, Vasudeva. How to satisfy Vasudeva in this life can be perfectly understood through the association of great devotees of the Lord. So that means, who are you working for when you go to work? You're working for your family? That's material consciousness. You're working for Krishna. You have to do everything for Krishna. This is what Krishna says. Yat kadoshi yadishnasi yajjahosi dadasi yat yat tapasya shikontaya tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Is that only for brahmacharis and sannyasis? No. If you think it's only for brahmacharis and sannyasis, you're not a grihastha, you're a grihamedi. You're a materialistic householder. You have to understand that instruction is also for you. You have to see, this is not my house, this is Krishna's house. This is not my, these family members are all the servants of Krishna. And my duty is to help them be absorbed in Krishna's service. You see? This is real household life. Otherwise, it's just animal life. It's simply animal life. So now Prabhupada's purport. The format for grihastha life should be dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 6:1 it is said, Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karoti ya sasanyasi chayogi cha na niragnina chakriyaha. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Whether one acts as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, one must act only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. This should be the principle for everyone's life. Narada Muni has already described the principles of life for a brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyasi. And now he is describing how a grihastha should live. The basic principle is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The science of satisfying the Supreme Lord can be learned as described here. Sakshat Upasita Mahamunin. The word Mahamunin refers to great saintly persons or devotees. Saintly persons are generally known as munis, or thoughtful philosophers, concerned with transcendental subject matters. And Mahamunin refers to those who have not only thoroughly studied the goal of life, but who are actually engaged in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Those persons are known as devotees. So being a devotee is not just some label. You understand this point? Being a devotee means one who actually understands what is the goal of life and engages himself in always 24 hours a day in trying to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you're a devotee. Otherwise, you're not a devotee, okay? That's what it means to be a devotee. Unless one associates with devotees, one cannot learn the science of Vasudeva Arpana, or dedicating one's life to Vasudeva Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how I became a devotee, by associating with devotees. So that's how you become a devotee. You associate with devotees. Otherwise, on your own, you can't do it. You have to have that association. Otherwise, you can't figure it out on your own. You require the power. It's called the Tejas, Vaishnava Sangha Tejas, the power of Vaishnava association will liberate you. If you associate with devotees, you do what devotees are doing, you study the science of bhakti in the association of devotees, you serve the devotees, then you'll become a devotee and you'll become liberated. Last paragraph now, the purport. In India, the principle of this science, in India, the principles of this science were strictly followed. Notice were, not are, were. Big difference. Even 50 years ago now, Prabhupada wrote this back in the early 70s, so that means 1920s, the early 1920s. This was around the time that Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta, around 1922. So 50 years ago means 1922, what Prabhupada's talking about here, which is almost getting almost 100 years ago now, you see. Now we're only 8 years away from being 100 years ago. So that's about 92 years ago, Prabhupada's talking about here. Even 50 years ago, we can say 92 years ago, I saw that in the villages of Bengal and the suburbs of Calcutta, people engaged in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily. When all their activities ended, or at least in the evening before going to bed, everyone would hear the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam classes were held in every village, and thus people had the advantage of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes everything about the aim of life, liberation or salvation. This will be clearly explained in the next verses. So you can see how far India has drifted off the mark. Back in the 20s, every village all over India, people would study the Bhagavatam. And all in the Ramayana Mahabharata, you see, everybody was conversant with them. There was no cinemas, no television, no internet, no mobile phones, and it was Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata. Everybody was fully absorbed in these things. They would talk about, they would hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, and they'd go to sleep. They would dream of Ramayana, Mahabharata, Prabhupada also explains. That's Indian culture, not, you know, Bollywood or chai, chai. That's what it is by the Britishers. Chai is British. It's not Indian culture. It's British culture. You see? What you think is Indian culture, most people don't even know what Indian culture is now. It's becoming almost completely dead. ISKCON is bringing back real Indian culture. We say, what? Why in Australia? Actually, formerly in the whole planet was India. 5,000 years ago, the planet, the capital of the entire planet Earth was Hastinapur, which is now New Delhi. That Maharaj Yudhisthira ruled the entire planet Earth. The whole, there's even a book now. One of my godbrothers, Sri Nandanandana Prabhu, has written a book showing archaeologically how Indian culture was previously, the whole planet was part of Vedic culture. He's written a very nice book in this connection. So now we'll go on to the next texts, 3 and 4 of this wonderful chapter. Shravan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Katam Ritam Shradadano Yata Kalam Upashanta Janavrata Sat ganat shanakai sangam atmajayat majajishu vimuchen buchamaneshu svayang svapavanad uttitaha. A grihastha must associate again and again with saintly persons, and with great respect he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations as these activities are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus one should gradually become detached from affection for his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. Oh, I can't have affection for my wife and children? Is that what it means? No, it's not saying you cannot have affection for your wife and children, but you should have affection for them as Krishna's parts and parcels, not as those who gratify your senses. Someone who is awakened in Krishna consciousness has affection for every single living entity. He sees everyone as his family member, you see. He embraces, it's called the greater family life. Even the little ant, he is my brother, you see. This is what it means. It doesn't mean you hate your wife and children. No. You have affection for them as Krishna's parts and parcels, as you do all living entities. And that's when your love becomes pure, you see. When you can actually act as the liberator. Look, I mean, just imagine how much... Prabhupada's father, Garmahandev, was very affectionate towards Srila Prabhupada. Very, very affectionate towards him. But not in a mundane way, you see. If you have this mundane affection, you say, well, let the kids do whatever they want. They're little Krishna. This is my little Krishna. Gotta let him do whatever he wants, you see. Now you're killing him. You're killing your kids. You just let them do whatever they want. No, you have to train them how to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you're killing them. You're not really loving them. You think it's your love, but it's actually just mundane. It's mundane. You have to train your kids. It's like these children. I just forced them to listen to me. And they're doing it very nicely. In the beginning, they were like... But now they're all tuned in. I can see they're tuned in, you see. I just forced them. You have to hear me. It's not my ego. I want them to hear this knowledge from the great sages because this will liberate them. They'll become great transcendentalists if they develop it. And see, the young age is when you're most able to learn. That's when your brain absorbs more. So I'm especially, of all the people here, I want these kids to hear better than anybody else. They're going to get the most benefit than any of you all. Because as we get older, our brains don't absorb things so much. Like children, put a kid in a house where five languages are spoken, he'll master all five of them without cracking one textbook. You see, their brains are very fertile for learning. So that's why I'm really wanting to emphasize the children to listen. So, now let's look at Prabhupada's purport. The Krishna consciousness movement has been established to give grihasthas all over the world. That includes Melbourne. Okay? All over the world, an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita specifically. The process is described in many ways as one of hearing and chanting Shravanam. What is it? Shrinvatang Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana. Everyone, especially the grihasthas, who are mudhadi. Well, is that me? Am I a mudhadi? Actually, we should understand, yes, I'm mudhadi. I'm mudha. I'm not realized in Krishna consciousness. I'm still on the mundane platform. If Maharaj Yudhisthira can humbly present himself as a mudhadi, a mudha, what is our position? Be humble. Don't be puffed up. If Maharaj Yudhisthira is calling himself a mudha, a foolish ass, we should be a little humble and think, well, I think he's teaching us a lesson that actually we're the mudhas. Ignorant about the goal of life should be given opportunities to hear about Krishna simply by hearing, by attending lectures in the different centers of the Krishna consciousness movement, as you all are doing right now. Where topics of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed, they will be purified of their sinful inclination for constant indulgence in illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, which have all become prominent in modern days. Thus, they can be raised to the status of light punya shravana kirtana simply by joining the kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, one must be purified, especially if he also takes prasadam. You like prasadam? Yes. If he also takes prasadam, this is all going on in the Krishna consciousness movement. Another specific description here is Shrinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Katam Ratam. It is not that because one has once finished Bhagavad Gita, he should not hear it again. That's a very good point. Yeah, I read the Gita. Yeah, I read the Gita 10 years ago. I read the whole Gita. So now I'm a great transcendentalist, right? Because I read the whole Bhagavad Gita. No. Great transcendentalist means reading Bhagavad Gita again and again and again and again and again and again. Someone who absorbs their whole life in reading Gita and Bhagavatam, that is what it means to be a transcendentalist. Not that I read it, you know, I took a Bhakti Shastri course and I graduated with an A+, so I'm a great transcendentalist. No. One who is always absorbed in hearing, remembering, and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is a true transcendentalist. So we want you to be transcendentalist. We want you to pay attention and tune in. Because by tuning into this transcendental katha, these transcendental topics, you'll become liberated. The cycle of birth and death. Would you like to be liberated from birth and death? Then tune in. Stay focused. You don't need to wander here and there. You'll have plenty of time after the class to run and have a great time in the yard. But now is your time to tune in and understand you're not your material body. You're an eternal spiritual being. You're not a little kid. You're actually an eternal living entity. And you're part and parcel of Krishna, and you're meant to come back to your eternal relationship with Krishna and his transcendental lila. The word abhikshanam is very important. We should hear again and again. There is no question of stopping. Even if one has read these topics many times, he should go on reading again and again, because Bhagavad Gita, the word spoken by Krishna and spoken by Krishna's devotees about Krishna, are amritam, nectar. Now, what is the word spoken by Krishna? That is called Bhagavad Gita. And what is the word spoken about Krishna? Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to hear the words spoken by Krishna and the words spoken about Krishna. And by doing that, we will realize they are amritam, that they are nectar. Now, what is the literal meaning of amritam? Who can say what is the literal meaning of amritam? Mritam is death, and amritam means immortality. So that's what it means. Nectar, the only true nectar. Some people think sex life is nectar, but actually sex life is mritam, unless it's done according to religious principles. It's death. But anything that gives you immortality, following the religious principles, the Vedic injunctions, hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, those things which give you immortality, amritam, they are called nectar. The more one drinks this amritam, the more he advances in his eternal life. So you have to see where is the nictram, the amritam being poured out like honey. And you have to go there and take your ears and open up your ears and let that nectar just flow in. Let the nectar flow in your ear, through your ears, into your heart, and completely purify away all the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, the envy. And we all have it. Even from the very birth, it's all there because we've taken our birth because of our previous karma. We've taken birth again in the material world. We were sinful in our previous life. Therefore, now we have another material body. When you become completely free, you won't take another material body. The fact that I've taken a material body proves that I'm contaminated. My heart is impure. That's why I took a material body. So you have to take in this amritam, the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Hearing, remembering, serving, all these things will drive away all the contamination of your heart. You understand these points? Now pay attention. Don't let your mind go somewhere else. Keep completely focused on this amritam, because this will liberate you. The better you tune in today, the more you tune in and stay focused on what's being spoken, that's the benefit you're getting. If your mind is going here and there like a monkey or like a kangaroo, you see, hopping here, hopping there, hop, 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 hop. Then we'll have questions at the end. You're the first. Your question will be the first one. Remember your question. You'll be the first one I'm going to recognize for questions. Thank you for your eagerness. I appreciate that. So, let's see. We go to 10. We actually go to 11:45, so that means...
You can go longer if you like.
Huh?
You can go longer, because lunch is getting served at 1.
We're going to what time now?
12:30 if you like.
12:30?
If you like.
Wow, we're really extending it. Okay. At least we can. We start a little late. I think we can open up for questions now. And has the paper's been passed around? Any questions there? What is your question?
Does our body is our soul an adult and a children at the same time?
What is he saying?
Can you repeat the question? Okay.
Is our soul an adult and a children at the same time?
An adult and a child?
At the same time.
Is our soul an adult and a child at the same time?
Oh, is our soul an adult and a child at the same time? Actually, that's a nice question. Actually, in the spiritual world, we're all youths. If anybody needs to talk, go outside. This is the time for hearing. In the spiritual world, this Krishna is Navayovanam. He's eternally a youth in the spiritual world. Navayovanam. He's the youth. Teenager, actually. Krishna is an eternal teenager. So that's actually the real position of all every living entity. We're all eternal youths. So you may be a little kid, you may be an old senior citizen, but actually your actual identity is you're a youth. A young adult, a teenager, is actually our actual identity in the spiritual world. We're all in the prime of life. There was that song, Sweet 16. We're all in the prime of youth in the spiritual world. Everybody is eternally in the prime of youth. That's the position in the spiritual world. That's what you actually are. Now we go through so many changes. You're a little baby, and then a little kid, then you go through youth, and you become middle-aged, an old man. This is the material world. In the spiritual world, they don't go through all those things. They're just eternal youths. Okay. Thank you for that nice question. I am not good in communication and not social, so how do I associate with devotees? Then just sit, just hear. And you don't have to be an expert communicator. Just be a good listener. That's all. If you can just hear, that hearing will liberate you. And by that hearing, everything will come. If you go on hearing, then naturally, by the purifying effect of that hearing, you'll become a good communicator in due course. And if you don't know what to communicate, how you can be a communicator. But if you, by hearing, you will know what to communicate, what is worthy of being communicated. And actually, there's only one thing worthy of being communicated, and that is Krishna consciousness. Anything else we may communicate is called gramya katha, village talk. It's not worth it. You know, who's going to latest cricket match or this or that? It's not worth it. So be a good hearer, and naturally, all these good qualities of how to communicate, how to associate, will come to you in due course. Is it good to compare my son with a good devotee kid to show him how to be? No, the best thing is you be a good devotee. Thank you. You be the ideal Vaishnava and let your child see your qualities. Is it? Not say, you know, not that you're not a very, you know, say, well, he's a good devotee. You're not that the parent is not very Krishna conscious and he points at another Krishna-conscious kid. No, that's not the way to do. You be the ideal example. Lead by your example. Show him by your example. That's the way to train the children. You be the ideal example. Would you kids like to have your parents to be ideal examples? What do you say? Yes? You would like your parents to be ideal examples? The kids say yes. So now your parents have to do it. You have to be, the kids want you to be ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. So now you have parents have to do that. Okay. I have Gornatai at home. Should I see Krishna in them? Or I treat them as pretend pretend deities? No. Actually, Gaura-Nitai are Krishna and Balaram in their most merciful manifestation. Not in pretension. They are Krishna and Balaram. My wife doesn't believe in Krishna consciousness. What should I do? Is your wife here today? Is your wife here today? If you, she is, you did the right thing. You brought her to the retreat. I don't know if, who... That's the advantage of it written down. We don't know who. It's anonymous. But if you're the wife that was brought here today by this person, then we don't want you to believe in Krishna consciousness, because it's not a belief. Is science something you believe in, like a faith? No. Science is something you know and you understand scientifically. So don't try to get your wife to believe in Krishna consciousness. You have to educate your wife, understand this is the ultimate science. This is a science, it's not a matter of belief. The reality is, just as H2O equals water, the reality is that we are spiritual beings and qualitatively one with the supreme spiritual being, Krishna or God. This is not a belief. If you see this as a belief, you'll have a hard time convincing someone who is in a hardcore intellectual or a skeptic. But if you understand this as a science, then you'll be able to convince your wife. I feel that her association might hinder my spiritual growth. Does the spiritual master hindered by the material consciousness of his disciples? He could be, if he doesn't remain strong in his own sadhana. So if the husband is strong in his sadhana and utilizes that marriage to try to save his beloved wife from repetition of birth and death, he'll get strength from doing that. So therefore the husband should chant 16 rounds of japa, should follow the regulative principles, he should take diksha, and then utilize that position as husband to save his poor wife from the cycle of birth and death. And that way he'll become very powerful in spiritual life. The questions are pouring in. We may be here till oh my goodness, till New Year's. Look at this. Oh my goodness. Oh my. What is this? Oh my goodness. How is there enough time to do all this stuff? Huh? Yeah. Tell me.
The question that you were answering, yeah, about the husband and wife.
Yeah, husband and wife, okay.
But if we are human, we will follow the vow of the marriage. The wife follows the husband, and if the husband is well, not Krishna conscious, the wife should follow.
Yes, that's right.
That's
the according to Indian the culture, the wife is supposed to follow the husband, unless he's a non-devotee. That's actually described by Prabhupada. A wife does not have to serve a non-devotee husband. So if your wife is Krishna conscious and you want her to serve you and engage in sinful activities, she doesn't. According to Prabhupada's book, she doesn't have to do that. So the husband better be Krishna conscious also. What is the significance of the tilak? And why do we do that on our face up to the nose? This tilak is the signia of a Vaishnava. This means I am a servant of Krishna. I'm advertising to the whole world that I'm the servant of Krishna. And I'm reminding myself also. So the tilak is a very nice thing. It helps us to remember Krishna. It helps others to remember Krishna. How do we control sex drive and household life? Then use it for producing Krishna conscious children. According to Prabhupada's teachings, sex life is Krishna himself. It's spiritual, it's transcendental if you follow the principles, which is to have sex only once in a month after the menstrual period, after the husband and wife have both chanted 50 rounds of japa, after they've gotten the blessings of their Guru Maharaj to try to produce a child. If you have sex other than that, it's animal life, and you won't produce saintly children by doing that.
Prabhupada also says one makes one's wife a prostitute.
Yeah, if you don't follow the principles, you've turned your wife into a prostitute. Prabhupada's very heavy. He says you've turned your wife into a prostitute. So don't do that. My wife and I strictly follow this principle. And anybody who follows this principle will have a wonderful, happy marriage that will never break. If you make Krishna the center of the marriage and not sex life the center of the marriage. I have heard that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was changed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, that's wrong. He did not change it from Hare Rama beginning to Hare Krishna beginning. That's not true. There's the Kali Santara Upanishad, which says that this Hare Krishna mantra is the most powerful mantras for this age. And there is one edition which reverses it. But there is another edition of the Kali Santara Upanishad, which gives Hare Krishna first. It was not changed by Lord Chaitanya. This is the original form. In fact, there are many, many places in the Vedic literature where the Hare Krishna mantra is given. And it's given as Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. If you'd like an email, if you'd like to see these verses, send me an email. I'll send you a copy of all the different verses. It's not, Lord Chaitanya did not change it. Somebody else has tried to change it. And then they accuse Lord Chaitanya of changing it. No. False propaganda. Oh, thank you very much. Some note from one of our beloved children here. Okay, as a new to Krishna consciousness, I always hear the take advice of senior devotees. So my question is, who is a senior devotee? And is it someone who's going to the temple every day for many years? Who is doing so many services in the temple? Who is elder for me? Who is higher position in the temple? Well, ideally, it should be yes to all of those questions, but not always. It could. The real answer is the one who is more Krishna conscious than you. Now, how do you measure that? It could be these things. It could be. But it may not be always. Whose heart melts in the kirtan? Who's diving into the mellows of Krishna bhakti? That's the real senior devotee. Why do we have to wear tilak? You don't have to. No one's forcing anybody to wear tilak. But you know what? Tilak is wonderful. Because it connects you with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I love putting on tilak. I love it. I love my tilak. Many years ago, I was working a job part-time to support our temple. I was working for a big corporation. Y'all tuning in now, you're getting splayed out. Stay tuned in. So, when you get a job, we put a coat and tie over our neck beads, grow our hair a little bit, put water tilak instead of regular tilak for the interview and get hired, But I was telling this the other day in Melbourne. It's like there's that, you heard of that toy store, Toys R Us, right? You have that in Australia. So tilak R Us. Okay? So I felt really uncomfortable not wearing tilak to work. So one day I said, I don't care, I'm just going to wear tilak to work. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm wearing tilak to work today, ki jai. You see? So I was doing telesales. You write it on a piece of paper. So I was doing telesales, and that day I was selling like boom, 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 boom. And my supervisor gets a commission on how many sales I do. So he was in ecstasy. His eyes lit up and he says, Mr. Bridge, that's my karmi name, Bridge, like Bridge Basi, He said, Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on you must wear it every day. So I had to follow my boss, right, and wear tilak to work every day. So that was great. So yeah, tilak is fantastic. It reminds us who we are. And there's a whole other story when we just passed through the UK, when they saw Mataji, the customs official saw Mataji's tilak, he went into ecstasy practically. And we had an interesting conversation. And there's another thing. We entered Australia. We showed the japa beads at the customs, you know, clearing wood. These things are wonderful. I showed my neck beads. These things are wonderful. This is our sense of identity. Tilak, neck beads, etc. What is your daily routine? Well, I like to get up by 2:30 in the morning. That's when I got up today at 2:30. I do my japa early in the morning, and then I help my wife worship Sri Sri Radhadamodar. I write my correspondence. I write my daily thought for the day. In this way, I absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. Do I have to do the chanting? Chanting is voluntary. You don't have to do anything except get old and die, really. But if you don't want to get old and die, you have to chant. Because by chanting, you will achieve immortality. Do you want to get old and die, or do you want to be immortal? It's your choice. If you want immortality, you have to chant Hare Krishna, because that will make you an immortal being. Do I have to wear tilak when we go to school, work? No, we don't require our members to wear tilak at the school that to wear. Not required. You can put on water tilak before you go. But if you want to be bold, you can be bold too. No one's going to stop you. We see the Sikhs, they keep wearing their turbans everywhere. You know, why? In the UK, so many Sikhs are all wearing their turbans. This is our, why we can't, if they can wear their turbans everywhere, why we can't wear our tilak everywhere? We can. It's just a matter of how bold you are. Are you afraid to advertise that you're a devotee of Krishna? Are you scared of somebody, you're a Hare Krishna? Oh, yeah. I mean, you're afraid of being identified as a Hare Krishna follower? You know, the Sikhs are very proudly wear their turbans everywhere. You can see in the UK, everywhere, the Sikhs are wearing their turbans in all kinds of jobs at the airport. What are we afraid of? You know, we want to advertise Krishna consciousness as much as we can. The more you promote it, the more it will become recognized and successful. How do we deal with a negative work environment? By positive energy of Krishna consciousness. Put your cubicle. You can put your wife and kids if you want, but why not put your guru and Krishna also there? You see. Put Prabhupada, your spiritual master, and Krishna there in your cubicle, and people come by and go, wow, that's my godfather, my spiritual master. Oh, really? And you have a Bhagavad Gita, lay it on your desk. Take advantage of that. I know a godbrother, he made a devotee at work. He was working in some corporate job. He put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk, and just by that Bhagavad Gita on his desk, one co-worker became curious. He ended up becoming an initiated disciple of Prabhupada. It's because there was a Bhagavad Gita on the desk. So, my work environment is a very cutthroat corporate culture. Well, I tell you, when it comes to this, a devotee is a lamb at home and he's a lion in the chase. You should be more aggressive. In the work environment, you can be more aggressive. For Krishna, you can be aggressive because just like Hanuman, working means, just like Hanuman went to get Sita from Ravana, isn't it? So money is Sita, Prabhupada says. And the workplace is, what is it? Ravana's kingdom. Lanka, yeah. The workplace is Lanka. And Sita is the Lakshmi you bring, the money you bring home from the workplace. So was Hanuman very shy about going to Lanka, or is he very aggressive? He lit the face on fire. So you can light the face on fire if necessary to be successful in bringing as much Sita home as possible for Krishna. So you can be very aggressive. If you're a businessman, you can be the most aggressive businessman. If you're working in there's no harm being very aggressive, but at the same time, you want to give yourself facility for your sadhana as well. There's no harm in being aggressive in the workplace. Swimming with the sharks, sometimes they call it. You know, you can be the most aggressive shark in the whole workplace for Krishna. Not that you just be a little lamb when you go to work. You see. And as far as transforming the heart of the people at work, that's a difficult place. I would focus on, if you put the Bhagavad Gita on your desk and have extra copies available for those who are interested, ask them to give a little contribution to help with the printing costs. That you can do. And put those cookies out there in the break room at least once a week, you know, nice, you know, carob chip cookies, very delicious carob chip cookies with walnuts. Big, you know, everybody is waiting for that. But every week when you bring the carob chip walnut cookies out to the break room, wow, I can't wait for Wednesday when he brings the cookies. You know, do something like that to make it interesting. You can really capture their heart with Vishadam. Why Sanatana Dharma is not a recognized religion as Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, etc.? Because we have not preached sufficiently. Therefore, we have to preach very, very aggressively. I want to go back to Godhead Vrindavan in this lifetime with my parents. What should I do? Well, you should become fixed up in chanting Krishna's holy name. Are you children listening, or are your minds going somewhere else now? Hare Krishna, you listening? You with me? So you have to. You should take up this practice very seriously, chanting japa. When you get become responsible, you should chant japa regularly every day. The children should begin chanting japa when they can manage it in a responsible way. And you become initiated disciples of the bona fide spiritual master. See? You want to have a guru? Yeah, you should take a guru at a certain point. We have many nice gurus in ISKCON. You become a disciple of one of the spiritual masters and dedicate your life to following your guru's instructions, and then you'll become qualified to go back to Godhead. I don't like anything else other than Krishna Katha. Jai, a pure devotee, ki jai. We have to learn from this devotee. This devotee is our guru. This devotee only likes Krishna Katha. Therefore, we all worship this devotee as our guru. I am scared that I am not doing my role as a husband, friend, or society. Actually, if you will stay absorbed in Krishna Katha and get your family also absorbed in Krishna Katha and try to get the whole world absorbed in Krishna Katha, you are the greatest husband and the greatest member of the human society. So let's see, how long should we keep going here? We should cut it now. We can save these for the next session. We'll just save these questions. Alright. So now we have we'll just save them here so they don't. Alright. So we'll stop here. This was the end of lecture number one according to your schedule, and now at 1:30 we'll have lecture number two to go deeper and deeper into this wonderful chapter of ideal family life from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much.
If 1 o'clock is Prashadam, then how can
it be 1:30? Prashadam is at 12:15.
No, 1 o'clock.
It's been bumped up? Okay. So we'll bump the schedule forward by about 45 minutes. When we gather here, it'll be obvious when it's happening. It'll be sometime after everyone's finished with lunch, then we'll come back again for a post lunch deep sea dive into the nectar of Krishna Katha, Kija. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.